Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
On Christmas Day of last year, the European Space Agency launched the James Webb Telescope, a major upgrade on the technology that we previously had for peering into deep space, and the culmination of decades of work by thousands of scientists and engineers. Now, the new telescope has begun sending home its first images in the past week, and our regular science expert, Dr. Shane Bergen, physicist and assistant professor of science education at UCD, has been looking at the telescope's work so far. Shane, you're very welcome. This is very exciting. I had a look at the pictures that it sent back, and the BBC have one on their website. It's just extraordinary. They have this test star image. It's so striking. Now, the name of it is awful. It's just letters and numbers. Yeah. But now we see the fruits of the labour, decades of labour.
And it's only just tuning in, you know? So, like, what's going to happen? So much work has gone into getting the James Webb Telescope built and sent into space. And just last week, we saw its first images, it tuning in to just a regular star. And in the coming decade, it's going to start doing the science. And that's why people like me, and indeed listeners, are getting really excited about the possibilities from the James Webb Telescope.
So what am I seeing in the image that I'm looking at? This very brightly shining star, but then there's all sorts of shiny, glittery bits surrounding the centre of the star. What's that?
Well, you're looking at a very, very regular star. It's quite bright and it's not incredibly interesting on its own, right?
Mm-hmm. It's just lovely to look at.
It is beautiful, absolutely, yeah. And you can see in that image lots of other stars and galaxies in the background. And so James Webb has an enormous concave or curved mirror. And it's the largest that we've ever been able to assemble in space. And so it is a huge light bucket. It's able to collect light from whatever part of the sky we point it toward. And it can look into the depths of space. And so it can look at stars that are nearby in huge resolution, or it can peer into the darkest corners of space and see the depths of galaxies and stars beyond. We can look right back to the extreme corners of the universe, hopefully to the earliest light that was ever created by those initial stars after the creation of the universe.
It cost an absolute fortune, didn't it? 10 billion.
10 billion,
to get the whole thing together. And when it went up on Christmas Day, there was a risk that it wouldn't work. Of course it was. It was going into space. But it all went to plan, despite all of the things that could go wrong.
And there are so many that can go wrong. We take space flight as every day now. Of course, we are putting a $10 billion instrument into a rocket, which is effectively a large controlled explosion. And we're sending that off into space. Any number of things can go wrong. It is a feat of engineering that these things go off more or less without a hitch. It had to go on Christmas Day because that was the optimum point to send it. People are probably wondering, why would they make the scientists work on Christmas Day? So imagine if going from here to Cork, here in Dublin to Cork, depended on, you know, the distance between those two objects could change, right? So that they're not fixed in space, mm-hmm. that those two things could change. And so you want to send your object from Dublin to Cork at the point of closest proximity. And so that's why we had to send it on that day or around that time to get it up into space.
And that was Christmas Day.
Yeah, it was meant to go Christmas Eve. But whether they were trying to avoid Santa Claus or whether it was because of wind, they decided to send it up the following day, and it got there.
So will you explain now what it's for, what it's going to look at, what we might learn?
So there's two major things that James Webb is going to do. The first is it's a time machine, right? Which is fascinating, right? So when the light coming from my face to reach your eyes takes an amount of time to get there, it takes nanoseconds. So it seems instant. If I get further away from you, the light takes longer to get to you. So when you move out into outer space and you're looking at stars and galaxies on the horizon, that light may be billions of years old. So you're seeing that star as it was billions of years ago. So if there was somebody there sending you a signal, by the time it got to you, they'd be long dead. So with James Webb, we will be able to look right to the cosmic dawn. We'll be able to look into the darkest corners of space and see the earliest stars. This is the hope, at least. And lots of people are doing theoretical work to see and to think about what we might see when we get there. So that's number one. We might be able to look back in time with it. The second then is a more advanced search for alien life. So looking closer Looking at stars and planets that are closer to the Earth, we'll be able to see them in greater resolution because of that huge light bucket, the massive mirror that it is, and also the type of light that it's looking for. We'll be able to look for things called exoplanets. So there's 8 planets in our solar system. We know of thousands of planets beyond. We find every star more or less seems to have planets going around it. So, and there are billions of stars in our galaxy and universe. So imagine the possibility that life is out there is increasing and increasing every time we look.
It's hard to imagine what might be discovered as a result of this. And who can look at the images?
Anyone. This is the wonder of these sorts of things. Anyone in the world can apply for time to use the James Webb Telescope. And lots of Irish researchers and researchers based in Irish institutions are doing that. People at the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies, Tom Ray and Patrick Kavanagh, they're looking at, with a particular instrument for exoplanets. Scientists working in the Natural History Museum in New York, Johanna Voss and Niall Whitford, both Irish, they're going to be looking for brown dwarf stars. And finally, Morgan Fraser, my colleague over in UCD, he's going to be looking for brief flashes of light that were caused from the combination of things called neutron stars. And their work might lead to understanding of how heavy elements, things like gold, are produced in the cosmos. Because remember, we're all made from stardust.
Well, Shane, will you come back in whenever anything comes back of interest from the James Webb and let us know, because it is utterly fascinating. Dr. Shane Bergen, thank you once again for coming in. Let's go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.